Because when you go out and you run and you're not running with a partner, you have to rely on yourself for everything and take care of yourself. And that was really new to me.
Diz Runs Radio episode 491 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the good folks over at Audible, and we've got a little deal cooked up where you can get a free audiobook if you sign up and give it a try. You get a free 30 days of trial access to Audible, and you get one free audiobook that you get to keep regardless, whether you stick around or not. And you know as well as I do that all of us have a book that we've been wanting to read for a long time, and we just haven't made time for it. So why not go ahead and grab it on Audible, and you can listen to it. It's almost as good as reading it. I'm not going to say that listening to a book is the same thing as reading it, because it's definitely not, but it is a close second. So head over to dizruns.com/audible. That'll get you set up for the free trial, and it'll throw a couple shekels my way as well, literally at zero cost for you. And if you don't want to stick with it, you can easy cancel. It's like a one-click process. I've done it before. I know how easy it is. Sign up, try it, cancel it if you want, but FYI, you're probably going to like it. I love my Audible subscription. So go ahead and get signed up if you haven't done so, and let me know what book you read, all right? But anyway, now let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, every once in a while, I'll connect with someone on social media, read their profile, and immediately invite them on the show for a chat. Today's guest is one such individual. Her profile reads, easy for me to say, daily blogger, sober runner, mental shit stirrer, pro-gender equality in tech, and family first. I pretty much needed about the first seven words, but the whole thing, that was all I needed to see to invite her on the show. And she's still relatively new to our sport, but she's staring down the barrel of her first marathon in just a few weeks, which is pretty cool as well. And it's definitely my pleasure to be able to welcome Miss Christina Kay to the show today. Thanks for joining us, Christina. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. The pleasure is definitely mine. And guys, you can check out the blog and like it says in the profile there, daily blogger. So there's always something new to check out at therunningnoob.com, therunningnoob, NOOB.com. And on the Twitter, you connect with her the same handle as the URL for the website, which makes it easy at therunningnoob. It's where I connected with her, and definitely lots of good stuff being posted and shared there as well. And we'll have everything linked up in the show notes that we talk about today. And obviously the place to connect with Christina as well. The show notes for this episode is dizruns.com/491. So you can find all of Christina's information and like I said, relevant links and all that good stuff there as well. So Christina, the way we always start off the show is with a simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer. And for somebody who's still kind of new to the sport, I don't know what you're going to say. And that's fine. That's part of the fun of this is just we'll throw it out there and see what happens. But it's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I think I'm going to say half marathon now, which is a little uncomfortable for me to say because it took me a long time to work up the nerve to run one. Mm. But my last half marathon that I did was the Tiburon half, and it was last month. I did it as part of my training for the full marathon that I'm hoping to run next month. And for a long time, I had wanted to run a half marathon under a 10-minute mile, which I know might sound kind of slow to a lot of people, but it was a big deal for me. And in this training run, in the Tiburon half, I finally broke 10 minutes, and it felt so good. It was a very emotional moment for me. I happened to have run it by myself. I told my family to just sleep in and not go since it was just a training. But I finally realized that, A, I was capable of running faster, and B, I like running so much that I'm willing to get up at 5 a.m. and go to a race across the bay and do it because I really like it. And I know some people think that's crazy, but running has, you know, saved me in a lot of ways. So that was definitely a moment where I thought, maybe I can focus a little bit more energy on my pace after this marathon and start to become a little bit competitive. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. You know, first thing you know, is something that I've said a few times, but it always bears repeating that, and that speed is relative. So yes, 10-minute mile might be a little bit slow to some, but it's going to be fast to some as well. So, you know, there's no reason to add a disclaimer to your own, you know, that was your goal, own it. And you did it. So congratulations there.
You're exactly right. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing is you definitely know that you're hooked on it and you're into it when the idea of you're looking forward to getting up at you know, 5 a.m, 4 a.m, whatever the case might be on a Saturday or on a Sunday morning to get up and go run. That definitely means that you're part of us now. You've joined the cult and we welcome you with open arms.
Good. I like being here.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I don't know, maybe the most obvious question, there's a few things from that initial answer there that I could go with, but, one of the most obvious ones based on, you know, if nothing else on the title of your blog and the Twitter handle, Running Noob. So you're new to the sport. What was it that got you into doing this crazy thing that we're all so passionate about?
Well, I think, I never ran until I was an adult. I mean, I never ran in high school. I didn't run in college. I didn't run for fun or anything like that. But I grew up in Ohio and I moved to San Francisco right after 9/11. And it was the first time living in a place where being active and fit for the first time was all around me. I mean, if you've been to San Francisco, you see that people are outside all the time enjoying the sport. And so, you know, I'd entered some fun races. I'd entered a, you know, some 5Ks or things like that, or some charitable 10Ks, but never really did it consistently and certainly never trained for anything. But about 7 years ago, my father passed away unexpectedly, and it was a really hard time for me. I was going through trying to get sober, and it was a really hard time for me. And I had a lot of struggles that I needed to get through. And, you know, I don't know if anyone out there listening has ever tried to quit drinking, but there's this moment when you get sober where you sort of don't know what to do with yourself. You have all of this nervous energy. You don't know what to do. You want to, you know, channel it into a positive thing. And so I remember specifically one day my husband was sitting on the couch. I was pacing the floor and I looked at him and I said, I just don't know what to do with myself. And I said, I'm going to go for a run. And that was really the turning point for me, I think, where, you know, I laced up my shoes, I went outside, and for the first time, I felt peace and I felt happiness and I felt like I was really living in the moment. And so for many years after that, that's why I ran. It was just to find that solace and that, you know, learning about yourself. Because when you go out and you run and you're not running with a partner, you have to rely on yourself for everything. And take care of yourself. And that was really new to me. And so at that point, I knew that running was going to become a really important part of my life. And so I sort of approached it the way I approach everything in my life when I want to learn something new. I started watching a ton of documentaries and reading blogs and listening to podcasts like yours and trying to absorb as much of the sport as I possibly could. And then I just got hooked. You know, I signed up for my first half marathon when I was sober, and I ran it faster than I'd run any other race before. And I realized that for the first time, I was sort of in control of my physical health, and it felt really good. And that's sort of when I decided, okay, this is going to be something that's going to really be a big part of my life. And I started the blog not that long ago. I started it in July, but I did it for two reasons. I did it because I wanted to hold myself accountable for my training for the marathon. And I also had a really hard time finding blogs for people like me, people who maybe aren't running competitively, people who aren't spring chickens anymore. I mean, I'm 42 years old, you know. So that's really why I started writing about it, was because I wanted other people like me, maybe people who are sober or people who are a little bit older or people who didn't start running until they were an adult, to relate to someone, you know. And I think that that's really important, to have someone who's sort of been through it also.
Yeah, well, and also to have somebody who's going through it currently, because I'm sure that there's probably some folks that are very similar to you that either have already found the blog or will, you know, in the coming weeks, months, whatever, and hopefully find it and be like, gosh, like this is right where I am right now. So it gives you that peer support, that community feel of you know, having somebody else to relate to and to commiserate with and to celebrate with and all of that. You know, in the moment, as opposed to just, you know, somebody finds a post that you wrote 6 months ago or 8 months ago or whatever, and they can reflect back on that. But it's actually like more right now relatable to folks, especially with you doing it every day.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love that. I would love for it to turn into more of a community place where people can support each other and offer words of advice. Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, I sought that out a little bit on Reddit, trying to find people like me who were trying to quit or had quit or whatever. And you really have to kind of dig to find those forums. So I think it's important to talk about it, not be afraid to talk about it. You know, like you said, people are struggling with it right now. People of all ages and everywhere in the world. And I think that it's too bad that we don't talk about it more, because I think running could help a lot of people in that situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And there's been, you know, number of times on, you know, in the past few years on the show where I've had folks that, you know, whether it was beat an addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, whatever, and you know, running has helped with that. Mental illness, you know, depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive, all of those types of things, eating, you know, there's a whole host of different things, you know, struggles, especially mental struggles and addiction struggles that, you know, running has really helped people, navigate those tough times with. And yeah, it doesn't get talked about, and it's a shame. And you know, maybe bad on me as well for not seeking out more of those conversations to have on the show, because, you know, I don't know what the statistics are, but I'm sure it's one of those things where, you know, there's a whole lot more people that are going through the struggle than we know about, because for whatever reason, the stigma is we can't talk about those different struggles. We can only celebrate. We can never commiserate. And that's, something that is a shame, because we all have our own struggles, and there's definitely, right, strength and peace in sharing those things and having some folks to help us get through the tough patches.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I found a few articles on in various running magazines to try to sort of see if there's any scientific proof that people who have the sort of chemical imbalance actually perform better in the sport. There are a lot of studies that show that the mentality that people have who have these addictions can very easily channel that into something like running. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that sort of the same kind of desire that you had when you drank to feel that high, you feel with running, but it's a very different experience. Obviously, nobody comes back from a run and says, "Oh, I wish I hadn't run those 3 miles." You know, it's a positive thing for your body. And yeah. And so, like I said, it's definitely saved me and helped me in a lot of ways. I mentioned in one of my blog posts about a race that I ran. It was the last race I ran before I got sober. It was a half marathon. And it was my first half marathon I ever ran, actually. And it was in the East Bay somewhere. It was pouring down rain. And there's this picture of me holding my medal at the end. And I was sorely ill-prepared for that race. I didn't even know it was a trail race. I showed up and I thought, oh, great, this is a trail race. I didn't even know it. And it was awful. I was just really struggling the whole time. And when I look at this picture, I can see in my face that I had a problem. You know, I could see that my face was red and bloated, and it was just very painful to look at. And now I looked at my last race photo of the last race I ran, and the differences are like night and day. Mm-hmm. And just my physical appearance and the happiness in my face and all of the stuff. And, you know, I didn't go through a formal plan to get sober or anything like that. I can say that I attribute a lot of my desire and my drive to get sober to running. And I think a lot of that has to do with just, it's not so much deciding I'm going to quit drinking so I can become a runner. It's more, I'm going to quit drinking so that I can just care for myself and so that I can treat my body the way that I want it to be treated, and have a long life with my kids and being active. And I think that's the turning point that started something really exciting for me. And I also want my kids to see, you know, living in Ohio is an amazing state. I don't know if you've ever been there. Go Buckeye.
I'm from Michigan, so we might have to fight if we get too much into the regional rivalries here.
That's funny. But where I grew up in Ohio, there weren't a lot of running trails or sidewalks. And it just wasn't a very, commuter friendly, I guess, place to live. And like I said, when I moved out here and I saw all these opportunities to join races or triathlons or all of these things, it was mind blowing to me. And I want my kids to know that from the very beginning, that this is a possibility for you, that you can channel all of your energy into positive ways and not just negative ways. So I feel like I'm setting a good example for them too.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, I my wife and I had our firstborn just over three years ago now. And yeah, it's definitely, you know, there's that extra level of like setting that example and showing that the healthy side of things. And especially, you know, in your case of kind of getting rid of or you know, eliminating a bad habit and replacing it with a good habit. Is there any possibility or have you ever had the thought of trading of, and I've had this conversation with other folks before, and I'm just always curious to get the different, you know, everybody's own different perspective on it, of trading one addiction for the other, of becoming sober, but then becoming almost addicted to running, or how have you felt that has played out in your experience?
Yeah, I've definitely heard stories where people kind of switch one addiction for another, I guess you could say. I definitely am not that person. I have to tell you, it is a struggle for me to get up and tie my shoes every morning and get out there. And it's funny, I'm starting to enter my sort of tapering phase before the race. And I'm reading all of these other blogs of people who are also training for California International Marathon. And they're saying, oh, tapering is so brutal and this is so hard. And I think I'm the exact opposite, where I'm looking forward to the break from running. So no, I don't think that that's the case with me, but I certainly think that that could be the case with other people. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I encourage everyone to follow your own path that works for you. But I think for me, running was more, what the heck do I do with myself that's fun that doesn't require drinking? Mm-hmm. And honestly, for me, that was a discovery. Like drinking had been such a big part of my life and ingrained in every social thing that I did, that it was just a matter of identifying things that made me have fun that didn't require drinking. And that was one of them. And it was also a way for me to find friends. You know, I work at a big tech company, and there are a lot of really fantastic runners, some of them professional competitors there. And I used to feel so intimidated being around people who ran faster than me. I always thought that I would be sort of found out. There's this thing called imposter syndrome that I've written about on the blog before, where you feel like somebody's going to discover I'm not supposed to be here or whatever. But, you know, I got over that. And I think getting over that was a big milestone for me too, where going into uncomfortable situations, I didn't have to medicate myself anymore. I actually looked forward to them. And that was a really big mindset change for me, where before I had always avoided those situations and tried to get myself out of them. And now when I see an opportunity for me to feel uncomfortable, I kind of seek it out.
Gotcha. I want to come back to that in just a second, but there's one other thing that you mentioned earlier that I would just at least to touch on. And it's just, like you said, the drinking was such a part of so many things, of the social dynamic, of things that you did when you were out having fun. You might have a couple drinks, whatever the case might be. When you're in those situations now, when you're at a holiday party, when you're at a New Year's celebration, when you're at a ball game or whatever, when you're in those types of social situations and other folks are having drinks, is that a tough situation for you, or have you pretty much like, you know, I'm done with that chapter's over and I've moved on. Yeah. Like how does that play out? Because I know that's different for every single person.
Sure. And it is very different for everyone. I have a lot of friends who are in recovery who have a very hard time being around other people who drink. And I completely understand that. I think for me, everybody's, you know, path to sobriety is very different. For me, my husband is also sober. He was sober long before I was. And I sort of knew in the back of my head always that there will come a day when I will quit drinking. I just sort of knew it in my head that the day I was ready to admit it to other people was the day that I would quit. And I reached that day after my dad died, when I just couldn't do it anymore. And I knew that I was being self-destructive. I told my husband, I said, I think this is a problem. I need help. And he was incredibly supportive of me. And at that moment, I truly can say I never desired drinking another drink. And that's because the hardest part for me wasn't the quitting, it was the admitting it part. And so after that, it's interesting. I think people react to my sobriety in like one of three ways. I think they either say, that's awesome, I'm really proud of you, good for you, let's go running sometime, you know, something like that. Or they say, they internalize their own drinking and somehow feel like they need to justify it to me, you know, and I don't want people to feel that way with me. You know, some people can drink and have fun and say that's enough at the end of the night. You know, I wasn't that person. So I don't judge anyone else's behaviors or what they choose to do in their own time. But the third way that people react, which is always a little strange to me, is they almost feel so uncomfortable with the fact that I don't drink that they won't accept it. So I'll have some people that say, but, oh, you know, you can have one drink every now and then, right? And I know that those people just don't really understand that. No, I cannot. It's just not an option for me. And so I've sort of had to learn how to deal with each of those three responses to my sobriety. And I'm okay going to a bar. I do it definitely not as often as I used to, because when I go, I have to go for a reason, to celebrate a friend, to go watch a sports game, something like that. I'm not going there to drink. And so, you know, I found the things that I can do to feel comfortable in those situations. I tell the bartender, make me a fancy mocktail or whatever, you know, and I like to tell people straight from the bat, I don't drink, I'm sober, so that there's no, you know, miscommunication or expectations that I'm going to be out partying with you all night. I think I just lay those things out on the table and they are what they are. And actually, I like doing that, too, because I find a lot of people who have their own struggles, and it's not until someone like me opens up to them that they feel like they can start to share that. And so I actually have a lot of sort of sober friends at work and in running and things like that. And we support each other in that way too. So I think that talking about it is important because it helps other people understand that there's people like them out there.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that goes back to the point we made 10 minutes ago or so, or whatever it was, that, you know, share that stuff. It's a lot more common than it seems. So it's as uncomfortable as you might be, you put yourself out there, you're probably going to find real quickly that you're not alone. And that makes it that much easier to avoid the temptations or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So you mentioned the imposter syndrome thing, and I would love to talk about that a little bit more, because I think that that's something that maybe a lot more people, you know, again, kind of like what we just said, more people are dealing with it than even maybe recognize. And that idea of like, you know, I run, but I'm not that good of a runner. I'm not that fast or whatever the case might be. What was, you know, you mentioned a post on that you had done about that, and we'll certainly link up to that as well in the show notes if people want to check it out. But what was your experience with the imposter syndrome as a runner?
Absolutely. Well, it's funny. I'd never even heard of that phrase before. I had my employer offered a life coach as part of this professional development program that they had, which was great. And so I was having conversations with her, and I was talking about it in a work context and saying how, you know, I have this upward mobility in my company and it's really exciting, but somehow I still feel like I shouldn't be in the room. And she brought up this phrase of imposter syndrome and sent me all this reading material. And it was like reading about myself. It was really crazy. I don't know why, and I think that this is very common in people who have alcohol addictions, that you do feel this sense of I'm different or I don't really belong here. And a lot of that has to do with the drinking and not with anything else. And I think that's the part that you have to embrace and accept, that for so long, my brain, when I was drinking, used drinking as a way to fit in and to be social and things like that. And it wasn't until I realized that drinking is actually a depressant and it's actually doing the opposite for me in the long run that it really helped me. And so I think when it comes to running an imposter syndrome, going back to what I said earlier, putting myself in uncomfortable situations is really important to stop feeling like an imposter. And what I found, especially in San Francisco, is the running community is so supportive of each other, you know, at every level. I've had people who have a guy that won the Kona Ironman who was giving me tips on what I could do in my training. And I thought, why is this guy giving me advice, you know? But it's a community and we're all out here to support each other. We're not all trying to get first place, you know? We're not all about that. And so there's no reason why we shouldn't support each other and encourage each other. And I think, you know, I try so hard to not do exactly what I did at the beginning of this podcast, which was to downplay my running. And so that's something that I've really tried to do to change my imposter syndrome, which is to not say, oh, I only ran 10 miles or I'm just doing a half marathon or whatever it is. All of it's important and all of it's hard and all of it's something to celebrate. You know, I don't think we have to set these like pace thresholds in order to call yourself a runner. You know, anybody who laces up their shoes and gets out there is a runner.
Yeah, and you know, to kind of almost even echo what you just said, like, we all say that, and yet so many of us, and I'm guilty of this too, at times go, oh yeah, you know, I you know, everybody who runs is a runner, but yeah, I mean, I only, my pace is only this, my PR is only that, or I'm only right. doing this distance today. And it's just, right. it's just ridiculous. It's, but again, we're all guilty of it. So it's something that's worth talking about and trying to really change that way we talk about ourselves or way we, I mean, in a sense, we're putting ourselves down right there and there's no reason
right.
for that.
Right. Exactly. I don't think that, you know, even the most celebrated runners like Shalane Flanagan, I mean, this last weekend, I'm sure she's had her moments where she's thought, I'm never going to get my pace to where it needs mm-hmm. to go. Everybody has those moments, you know, and at every level, just like you said. And I always look back at my old race photos for some reason to try to remember what mindset I was in at that time and how far I've come since that. You know, and I remember my first several races, I literally was just trying to get to the end. I was just trying to put one foot in front of the other. And then gradually I had a pace goal. And then gradually I increased my distance. And all of these goals that I set for myself to put that bar out there a little bit further, that's the important thing. And that's the thing that I should be celebrating.
Yeah, definitely. And the, you know, the growth and the possibilities for growth are pretty much endless. You know, you can always go a little farther, a little faster, more consistent. I mean, whatever. You keep putting yourself out there and celebrating the small wins. And pretty soon those small wins really add up to something pretty big.
Absolutely.
So I do want to talk a little bit more about this upcoming marathon. But just real quick before we do that, I want to remind everybody that today's episode is sponsored by the good folks over at Audible. So, you know, once you catch up on all 490 plus podcast episodes that I have, plus however many other, you know, podcast episodes are out there, once you're all caught up and you go, gosh, what the heck am I going to listen to on my next run? Get an Audible book or an audiobook. They're fantastic. It's something that I've certainly been doing, as I've said several times on the show and various plugs for Audible that, I mean, I would love to read more and I'm trying to make a better effort to read more, but by golly, I put headphones in my head and I can go through just about anything. So I've been utilizing, you know, Audible to get some more book knowledge in, some fun stuff for business, but also some fun stuff for pleasure. And if you'd like to check it out, if you haven't done so already, you know, the first book's on me, actually the first book's on Audible, but you know, we'll give you a free book somehow all this works out. If you just go to dizruns.com/audible, you sign up for an account, and you get a free audiobook download that you can keep forever. And if you want to cancel your account within 30 days, you can do that. It's literally a one click process. There's no hassle to get through, but if you want to stick on, and I would encourage you to do it, it's well worth it. It's $15 a month and you get a free book every month. So it's something that, you know, or I guess you pay $15 a month for a book, however you want to do that math on it. But a lot of times the books cost more than that. So you're spending $15 and getting a $20 or $25 book for free and or, you know, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. Check it out. Dizruns.com/audible. And if you have any questions on it, please let me know. So Christina, we've got this marathon coming up, the first one. A couple things that I would love to get to talk about, or at least a couple possibilities of things to talk about. But first and foremost, why did you decide to step up and try your hand at the marathon distance race?
Well, I was trying to push that bar out a little further, I guess. Mm-hmm. When I finished my half marathon, and it felt good at the end. It took me several half marathons to finally still feel good at the end. That's when I realized, okay, if I still feel good finally at the end of a half marathon, then maybe I can push myself a little bit further. I've actually trained for another marathon one other time before, and I ended up getting pregnant with my second son. So I didn't end up racing it, but I got pretty far in my training plan. But I'll be completely honest with you. I also Googled flat marathon Bay Area, and this is the race that came up. So this is how I landed on California International Marathon.
Gotcha. Are you excited, nervous, a little bit of both? What's the, you know, with about a month, as we're recording this, about a month out from the race, what's the emotional state look like these days?
I'm definitely excited. I'm right now in this moment, very sore from my Sunday run that I did. but I feel good enough that I could go out and do a run today. So that's promising. I ran my longest distance on Sunday. It was 19 miles. That's the farthest I've ever gone. And that felt so good. I think that was when I realized, okay, I can do this. If I can do 19, I can do 26. I might not do it in my fastest pace, but I will definitely be able to finish this race. And so, I'm so excited about it. I'm also excited because my whole family is going. It's the first time they're going to be able to see me finish a race all together. My mom's flying out from Ohio. My friend is flying out. So there's so many things happening that have to do with this marathon that make me feel so happy and excited. I just really feel nothing but excitement.
Good, good. Hopefully that'll continue to ride out as the race gets closer. Yeah. The excitement will stay there and the nerves will stay away. That's certainly the goal.
Definitely.
Like you said, you just did the longest run you've ever done. Congratulations on that. Has the training this go around been pretty good, pretty consistent? It sounds like it from what you just said.
Yeah, it has. You know, it's challenging. I give massive amounts of kudos to any parent out there who is running long distance races like this. It's really hard to get the training runs in, especially if you're a single parent. Absolutely humongous kudos to you. It's very difficult. My husband has always been incredibly supportive of me, and he's happy to hang out with the kids and get them exercise while I'm out there for four hours running. Mm-hmm. But I think it's great to have that support system. And he's equally excited for this to be over, I think, so that we can get our weekends back a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely a time commitment. That's one of the things that I've had several conversations with folks about. You know, that first question, what's your favorite distance? And they're like, you know, I kind of like the marathon, but boy, the half is just so much more manageable to train for. It doesn't interfere with life nearly as much as the full, and it really is a commitment, man. You getting those miles in, it's you know, you got to be in it to do it, or else it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny thing is, I always remind myself of this when I'm training, that with so many other things, if you skip a practice or if you cheat a little bit, it's not going to have a devastating effect. But with a marathon, if you don't get out there and train your muscles to accept the pain a little bit, you're not going to be able to do it. And so that's what I love about it too, is that, you know, that motivation is not just to cross it off your list and say you did it, but it's really a physical need to get your body ready to do this very grueling distance, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you're a whole lot better off than I was for my first one, because I think my first marathon, the longest run I had done was about 14, maybe 15 miles. So I clearly didn't know what I was doing, and I clearly learned some hard lessons that day.
What was your first marathon?
It was at Disney. Down here.
Oh,
so it was fairly, you know, fairly flat. A couple of overpasses were about the only hills. So, you know, it's a beginner friendly race, but boy, it was a learning experience. The last 10 miles were, not a pretty, sight for anybody to have to witness.
That's what I hear. I'm sort of mentally preparing myself for those last 6 to 8 miles, which I hear are all mental and not physical at that point.
I would argue that there's some physical that goes on there too, but it's definitely
right.
A lot mental. It's one of those things. And there's several of instances of this type of example across other areas of life, but you can hear what other people have to say. You can hear about their experiences, but until you've done it, you don't know how your body's going to respond, and you don't know what to, you think you know what to expect, but you know, you just have to experience it to get the full picture. And then the next time you think you have it all figured out, and then you realize that it's different every time, no matter what, anyway. So it's an experience, but it's definitely something that, I know I learned a lot from, and, swore off I'd never do it again. And, you know, here I am, however many 8 or 9 marathons later with more on deck, you know, and it's just, you know, you become
I know I'm
addicted.
Already thinking about my next goal. What is my next goal going to be?
Yeah. What are you thinking about?
I'm actually thinking about maybe a triathlon. I've done only one before. It was a sprint distance, and it was before I had kids, and it was definitely outside of my comfort zone. I did not know how to swim until I was an adult. I had to take swim lessons with a bunch of little kids. It was a little bit humiliating, but I'm glad I did it. So I think putting on the wetsuit again and trying to do another one of those is probably next on my list.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the swimming thing is the thing that holds me back, because it's you know, I've feel like I do know how to swim. I mean, that's not a question. Like, I know how to swim, but there's a difference between swimming in the pool and splashing around and having fun, and like going out there to swim, you know, whatever the distance is, whether it's a quarter of a mile or whatever it is for a sprint, or longer, heaven forbid, like the 2.4 for the Ironman is just absolutely ridiculous. But that's a whole different type of swimming than what I feel comfortable doing.
I mean, I can't say I feel comfortable either.
More comfortable, you know, than me, if you're actually even entertaining the thought, I guess.
When I did my my only triathlon I ever did. It was in Pacific Grove in Monterey. And the day before the race, there was a shark sighting right there where we were going to be swimming. And there were all these signs posted that said, swim at your own risk, blah, blah, blah. We've seen the sharks. And it was terrifying. But I'm really glad I did it. But I can say that I, you know, faced not only my fear of competing and swimming in open water, but my fear of sharks too. So
that's overcoming a lot in yeah. One fell swoop.
Right.
Goodness. Okay. Well, now I got this, like, I don't have a fear of sharks, but that's easy for me to say when I'm like not in the ocean or not in the water, you know, like it's a little different thing when you're out there and it's a big size shark that you're dealing with. But shifting gears a little bit as we're getting kind of, you know, nearing the home stretch here, but another topic, shifting back a little bit to the blog a little bit, blogging daily. Why? For lack of a better way of saying it. I tried that for a while and that is a lot of work. Why blog every day?
It is a lot of work. And it really comes back to that accountability thing for me. I don't have a ton of people reading the blog right now. It's still early in the blog stages. But in my mind, if even one person is reading my blog and I post it on there that I'm going to run 20 miles the next day, I think about that. That the fact that I put it on, you know, the internet or whatever makes it more real to me in some way. And it's also been kind of like a diary for me. It's really nice to go back to those earlier posts and look at where I was in my training and see how far I've come. I actually really look forward to sitting down at night once all the kids have gone to bed and it's just me and the computer, and I can rehash my day and look at what I did and look through my photos and look through my training plan and talk about it and work through it in my brain. And I really think that part of my sobriety is documenting it in some way. It's writing in a diary, it's writing in a blog, it's something like that. And that's my way of holding myself accountable. And like you said earlier, I hope that eventually it becomes a forum for people to talk to each other. You know, whether you do or don't have any kind of addiction, I think there's tons of information there for people, even if you aren't going through that. That's definitely not the focus of the blog. But it has fun content on it too. And I'm learning a lot as I go. Once a week, I do something called Smatterings. And it's just all of these crazy, weird stories that I read about throughout the week. And I don't know what to do with the information. So I put it on the blog. It forces me to learn more about running the sport and what I can do to improve. So, you know, I had no idea what a fartlek was. I had no idea what a yasso was. I don't know any of that stuff. I don't even... You know, I'd never even done any speed workouts on a track until I'd started training for this race. So I am, in every sense of the word, a noob when it comes to the whole running, you know, terminology and all of that stuff. It's all new to me. I've had to Google so many things that a lot of runners already know, but it's fun and I can't be intimidated by it. You know, I don't want my lack of knowledge to prevent me from trying something new.
Well, but you make a point there that is easy to forget, is that at some point, none of us knew those terms. You know, we take it for granted that, you know, just because somebody has been running with us, or we've seen them on social media or whatever, and you know, they've been running, that, oh, well, they must know all of the terms, and that's maybe not the case. So, you know, it's something that I forget sometimes too. And every once in a while I have to go back and remind myself that, like, you know, just because I've been doing this for a handful of years now, and I feel like I know most of at least the basic terminology and a decent amount of stuff. There was a time when I didn't. So, you know, you gotta remember to explain things once in a while.
It's true. Yeah. Remember your noob friends when you're talking about running.
Exactly. And make sure that you're fostering the type of environment or atmosphere that, you know, if someone doesn't know, they don't have to feel bad or feel embarrassed to ask a question. Like, you know, it's okay. Like, you know, to ask when you don't understand something. What has been harder, training for the marathon or maintaining the streak of a blog post every day?
I think training for a marathon. well, you know, I work full time. I'm on the board of my son's PTA. And we live a very busy lifestyle, I think. And so I've truly had to make it a priority to carve out the training time. And I think I've sort of done the bare minimum of what you need to do to feel ready for a race like this. But that's okay. You know, I think discipline for me is really important. I always have to tell myself, you're going to feel better after this run. We all know that, right? We've never come back from a run and said, like, I feel much worse than I did before the run. It just never happens. And so something that my mom taught me from a very young age is just go do it. She was saying it long before Nike, just go do it and do it before you think too much about it. And that's how I try to approach my runs. You know, I know if I need to get one done, my husband actually timed me the other day. He timed me how long it took for me to get ready and get out the door. And he said, it only takes you 3 minutes. So the next time you think you don't have time to get ready and go for a run, you only need 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that helps me, you know, he helps keep me motivated too. And he's always offering to watch the kids, which is a huge help. But yeah, I would say the training plan has been the hardest.
Gotcha. Yeah, it all adds up, and it's all a little bit of time here and there. You know, once the race is over and you know, the blogging has been a big part of holding you accountable and staying accountable to the race. I mean, I don't know if you've thought this far yet, but what are you going to write about then? Is it just going to be kind of daily life stuff and some running mixed in, or have you had that thought with yourself at all?
I will definitely always have some kind of running goal that I'm working toward. Mm-hmm. I think my next one might be trying to do a sub-2-hour half marathon.
Right.
So I think that'll be my next big goal. I really want to work on my pace. I used to be sort of an 8.5-minute average pace runner. And with every child, I seem to have added a minute onto my pace. So I'd like to get back to my pre-kid pace again. And so that's going to mean a lot more strength training too. And that's not something that I've been traditionally like working into my workout routine. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I need to start incorporating. You know, I have limited time to train for this race, and I always feel like that time is better spent doing yoga and running. So that's what I've really been focusing on. But I think when I have my eye on the half marathon for my next goal, then I'll definitely start incorporating more strength training.
Yeah, definitely would encourage that. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. You know, it can, you know, you can spend hours at the gym or whatever, but you definitely don't need to get, you know, 80% of the benefits at 20% right. of the time. The whole 80-20 thing is definitely pays off in the strength training component. So definitely would encourage you to make that, at least a focus, you know, going forward when you do shift those goals, because it'll pay off. So, Christina, as we are getting to that point of wrapping things up today, the way I like to end the conversation is with a question very similar to the introductory question. I call it a philosophical question for lack of a better way of saying it, but it's, you know, just another open-ended question that everybody can kind of answer in their own way. And I actually have a few different options that I choose from and just kind of randomly pick one. But it you know, at this point, based on the conversations that we've had, or that we had today, you know, the fact that at this point in your life, you know, running is definitely part of who you are, something that you do. I mean, you're definitely a runner, in anybody's definition of the word, I believe. What would you like that to say about you? That label of, you know, that's Christina. She's a runner. What would you like that to mean to somebody when they hear that you're a runner? What does being a runner mean to you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
When I think about people thinking about me being a runner, I hope they think about someone who has strength, and not just strength in my body, but strength in my mind, to know that putting my health and my mental well-being first is the most important thing to me. And I want people to see that. I especially want my kids to see that. I talk to them a lot about why I run, and I'm very open about the fact that I don't drink with them. And I think just showing them that I have resolve and I have strength is the most important thing I want people to think about me when I run.
I love it. And that's a great place to put a bow on things today. So, guys, again, if you want to follow along with Christina as she is gearing up for this first marathon, she'll definitely be, this will be out, you know, a couple weeks certainly before the race. So, follow along at therunningnoob.com and, on the Twitter at therunningnoob, and kind of see how it's going and cheer for her along the way. And again, we'll have everything linked up. So a couple of the blog posts and, anything else that we talked about, over at, disruns.com/491 will be the show notes for today's episode. So, Christina, thank you so much for taking the time today, and you know, obviously nothing but the best at the race. Congratulations on the sobriety and how that's obviously translated into a healthier habit and a lifelong change there. So I just appreciate your time today, and nothing but the best going forward.
Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Christina and myself. And as always, I would be curious to know what stood out to you from our conversation today. What was something that that made you think a little bit, or made you go, huh? You know, or what was your big takeaway? For me, I think it really came down to when Christina and I were talking about the unwillingness to share our true selves, to really be open about our struggles, whether it's in running, whether it's in other areas of life, and just the power, just the benefit that can have to not only helping in that situation to learn something, to find a solution, but also just in the fact that, you know, getting through the struggles, getting through the hard times, that's how we learn. That's how we grow. Again, as runners, as spouses, as parents, as employees, as just human beings on this planet. So, and I say this fully realizing and fully admitting that it's something that I struggle with, that it's something that I'm not a real open person, you know, maybe outside of the podcast, but outside of the podcast, I'm not really open to share, you know, kind of inner hurts and inner feelings and things like that. But maybe that's something that I should strive to do more of, you know, strive to be better at talking about the things I struggle with, talking about the things that I'm worried about, concerned about, in order to help find a solution, help to realize that I'm not the only one that has some of these same doubts and struggles and limiting beliefs and all of those kinds of things. And really, you know, just putting that into knowing that I should do that and actually putting it into practice. And that was a big thing that while we were talking today, really, really stood out in my mind and really was kind of, you know, maybe my conscience telling me that I need to do a better job with this as well. So, that was my takeaway. And, I would love to know what it was for you. What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns, shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave a comment there, letting myself and anyone else know what you know from each episode stood out to you. And again, the show notes for this episode are DizRuns.com/491. So you can head over there and leave your feedback, your comments, your takeaways, whatever it might be. And while you're there, you can check out all of the other past posts and things that are going on the website as well. So that wraps it up for today. A little bit shorter than some of them, but I hope that the quality was still there. I feel like this was still a very good conversation, and I hope that you enjoyed it as well. So without any further ado, DizRuns.com/audible if you want to check out Audible and get yourself a free book. Like I said, you will enjoy it, and it's well worth the low price every month. It's something that I look forward to getting my new book to listen to each month. So check it out, and again, let me know what books you're getting. What books are you listening to? And maybe I'll add something to my queue as well. So that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. Hope that you enjoyed this one. And until next time, please take care. All right, be well, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.